I'm Dory Stein, and this is the band that we'll be focusing on for a good chunk of the next hour with our special guest, Bill Smith, on Gaza Corner, the Ukrainian band, Daka Braka.
Послухайте, люди добрі, що хочу казати. Я хочу про всіх хлопців співанку співати. Якби знала моя мамко, що то може Дмитро, ти би з мене що не діли і збирала хитро. Якби знала моя мамко, що може Михайло, ти би з мене що не діли і збирала файно.
Я піду за Славку, а як прийшла я до заслака луснула дверима. Я не піду той заслака, піду за якими. Якими були коні, якими корови, які мене не одна, будьте всі здорові. Ви ж дізнали люди добрі, як перевирала. А ось цю співаночку я вам не співала.
Дякую за перегляд! Яка та калибелька золота, а у дітятки маво і получше того. Ай баю кота і постілюшка м'яка, а у дітятки маво і пом'якче того. Ай баю кота і постілюшка біла, а у дітятки маво і білій того.
Sky, so close.
91.7 Tangential Radio, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight. I'm Dori Stein, and we started with the three songs from Darka Bracha, the Ukrainian band that was written up in the New York Times a couple of days ago. And that article is at the tangents.com website. You can check it out and also learn more about Darka Bracha. But the best way to learn about Darka Bracha at this moment in time is to talk to someone who has been intimately involved with the band for the last 10 years, and that is their booking agent, Bill Smith. And so much going on with the band because the members are based in Kyiv. Hi, Bill, by the way. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Thank you. And that, of course, the capital that is surrounded by the Russian army, and no one knows what will happen. You have been in touch with the group. Can you give us an update on the status of the members? And I know that you met one of the members of the band just, I think, yesterday, flying in from Kyiv into the United States. So catch us up a little bit on what's happening with the members of the band.
Happy to do that. I wish there were a happier scenario for all of them. The simple fact is one of their technicians and their manager remain in Kyiv. And I did meet with one member of the band yesterday en route to her home. She had spent 9 days traveling by car, foot, and train from Kyiv to the Ukrainian border with Hungary, walked across the border, got on several trains to Budapest, had to spend a day or two there before she could get a train to Bucharest, Romania. It was a 15-hour train ride. And then she flew from Bucharest to Istanbul and got a flight from Istanbul to San Francisco to her final destination, where she connected here to her final destination. And as I said, it took her 9 hours. Obviously, she was distraught. She decided Tuesday a week ago to leave when she was preparing for the final show of their tour within Ukraine. She looked out the window where she was staying, and there was an enormous explosion, and everyone in the group knew the show couldn't continue. They were near Borispol Airport in Kyiv. At that point, she commenced her journey immediately, but it took an enormously long time. I've made a similar journey from here to Kyiv in about 16 hours by flying on a couple flights. She obviously didn't have the simplicity of that travel nor the comfort. And of course, she's quite shaken by what she saw and what we don't know about the people who've been left behind within her group. Several of them have gone to Western Ukraine, where it's perceived to be safer, in Lviv. And two of them are in Kyiv. That's kind of where it is. I can tell you that 3 days ago, and I speak with them every day, they told me they were living just day to night and then night to day. 2 days ago, they said they were living hour to hour. They're in a very perilous situation, and the outcome we just can't foresee. Or maybe that's fortunate. I just don't know. But I've had the pleasure of working with the group for over 10 years. I know them all very well. They're wonderful musicians and people. They all have families. And having families somewhat, shall I say, inhibits their movements because there's always the concern, what about my family? And of course, at this moment, there's a Ukrainian law that no males 18 to 60 can depart the country. so that they're subject to military service.
Bill, the woman you were talking about who is in the United States.
Yes.
That's Irina Kovalenko?
That's correct. She's basically the pianist accordionist of the group.
And the one male in the band, Marco, he obviously can't leave, even if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. He's quoted in the New York Times, and you can obviously be a more credible source in terms of Marco's maybe latest thinking, but this was an interview that was done just a couple of days ago. And Marco, who is in the western part of Ukraine, relatively safe, says in the article that he plans to return to Kyiv and enlist in some sort of capacity to defend the country. Is that the latest as you know it?
I haven't spoken directly with Marco, but I've spoken with their manager and other people who have spoken with him. And he's very patriotic, as suddenly all Ukrainians are. They were actively involved in 2014 Maidan revolution as well. And long after that, when I spoke with him, he said, yes, he'd return anytime necessary to military service. He wouldn't hesitate to do that. I don't know. Again, I haven't spoken to him. I met him with them, everybody, a month ago in London when they had a tour in England. But I didn't review that subject. But he had previously committed to me that he would return for military service.
Yeah, the article in the New York Times is for March 3rd. It's, again, linked at the tangents.com website. There's a playlist there in the left-hand column. And in the Gaza Corner section, it says, Daka Bracha, a band from Kyiv, saw a war coming. And in the article, Marco, who plays every instrument under the sun, it seems, from didgeridoo to darbuka to trombone to accordion, and is an amazing accordion player, also plays tabla. I mean, who in the world plays trombone, didgeridoo, and accordion and darbuka? I mean, my God. Marco has the quote, I haven't told my family yet, but I will be going back to Kyiv to offer my help anywhere where it is needed, maybe in local defense.
Yeah.
Whew.
Candidly, I feel he's more valuable to Ukraine as a cultural ambassador than as one more soldier. But that's his decision.
Of course. And then Nina is another member of the group, primarily playing the cello and singing, also playing the bass drum. And she is living with her, I think, 1 or 2 year old son in an apartment with their mother in Kyiv.
Actually, since that review was done, she made her way to Western Ukraine, but she has a husband of eligible military. He's draftable. So, not likely he's going to get out of the country, even if she and her son are able to do that.
When you say that, in your opinion, Marco might be more valuable as a part of being a cultural ambassador, that's what Daka Bracha has been. And is it fair to say that it is the cultural ambassador of Ukraine to the world, and through music?
Absolutely. They're recognized worldwide as Ukrainian cultural ambassadors, and they've gained a great deal of fame within Ukraine because of the notoriety, very public notoriety, they've achieved outside Ukraine, and has really enhanced their career inside Ukraine. And as I said, Monday a week ago, it was the final day of a four days of tours in Ukraine, and there was also one in Norway in that batch of performances. So yes, they carry the message very positively of Ukraine around the world. I mean, we've had them in Australia, all over Canada, the U.S., significant Indian England tour. They've been invited to India, Thailand, you name it, Japan. United Arab Emirates. I can't even remember all the places, but yeah, they're true cultural ambassadors, probably more so than almost any other group I can think of in any other country, because frankly, I don't think Ukrainian music was very well known outside of Ukraine before Daka Braka.
And of course, they are not purists, to say the least. They No. take the, you know, folkloric traditions and reinvent it into some form which is so singular, so compelling, truly, you know, when I say that Daka Braka is unique, it literally is true. Unique in terms of their music, and so striking in appearance as well. Of course, they have a theater background. They were born from a urban avant-garde theater in Kyiv,
right.
And they are on stage performers, truly performers, and you can tell theater is in their DNA, but they have essentially reinvented a folkloric lens to look at Ukrainian music. It's to me, it's extraordinary. And I'd like you to pick a song to play that you just feel like hearing for folks to hear more of Daka Braka, who, God willing, will have a concert at the SF Jazz Center April the 27th. It's almost sold out already, but whether it actually happens or not is who knows.
Okay. One of my favorite songs is from their album called Nemezi, and it's called Vesna. The title, I don't speak Ukrainian, but I know the title translates into spring song, and I think you'll hear a lot of elements of spring in this music.
So I'm going to make sure, because their titles are in Ukrainian, which I don't speak or read. You said Vesna?
Vesna is the English spelling, yeah.
Okay, I got it. I'm confident this is it.
It's a long one. It's beautiful.
All right, this is the Daka Braka Tangential Experience on Gaza Corner with special guest Bill Smith on 91.7. Thank you. Daka Braka on 91.7, as we usually have Gaza Corner focusing on Israel, Palestine, the Middle East, or beyond, and we are in the beyond phase tonight. Daka Braka scheduled to appear at the SF Jazz Center at 201 Franklin on Wednesday the 27th. The website at SF Jazz says that it is almost sold out. It's very possible the concert, we don't really know whether it will happen. Hopefully it will. It will obviously depend on what is going on in Ukraine, where the band is from. The members, as of a few weeks ago, all were living in Kyiv, the capital. And I want to make sure we have Bill back on the line. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Great. You are good. There. So we heard Vesna, and we also heard Vals from Na. How do you say the last part?
Namezi.
Namezi. Do you know what that means?
I'm sorry, I don't speak Ukrainian.
But we can say it. Namezi,
yes.
The name of the album, and we can also say the titles Vesna and Vals. And
yes.
I wanted to ask you, you've been the booking agent, in fact, the first, I imagine, at this point, maybe even the only English-speaking booking agent for Daka Braka, and it all was based on a what we call a showcase, which is not exactly a concert, because a showcase is more like a music industry name for when a conference takes place, and it's only open to music industry types, and they call it a showcase. So oftentimes they're trying to impress to maybe have an album released, or more these days to be, basically they're courting interest from booking agents to try to get on tours or be involved in music festivals. And you saw them in 2012 for the first time at the music conference known as WOMEX. This was in Thessaloniki in Greece. It doesn't even feel that long ago. I was there as well. I often see you at WOMEX, as you know. And that was the first time we both saw Daka Braka. Now, for people who don't know, you have... your plate overrunneth with artists, and many keep knocking on your door, but my goodness, it's hard to be represented by your company, Bill, because you have a full plate all the time. Is that fair?
That's pretty accurate, yeah, and particularly in a period where we've had virtually no shows for, I don't know, 2.5 years, and now they seem to be resuming, which I'm very grateful for. The first time I actually saw them perform was when we both saw them, the same event at WOMEX, which was a very moving showcase. Basically, they're peddling their wares, so to speak, but they're performing, and they're hoping that festivals will really like them and want them at their festival, and that certainly occurred in the case of this band. I mean, there may be 30, 40 showcases at this type of conference, but this group stood out for me, and I approached them only to learn they had approached me about 2 years before that time in Montreal, and I did nothing because I hadn't seen them. And for me, it takes seeing a group perform to really move me and make me want to work with them. And regretfully, they approached me in Montreal. I did nothing. And it was 2 years later that I finally saw them and was so moved, as were several of our employees who were there at the time. And we just thought we had to do it. Been with us ever since.
Yeah, I actually remember, and I hope this isn't revisionist history, but I do have a kind of a memory frozen in time, because that was such, when the very first time one sees Daka Braka, it's really hard to imagine ever forgetting that one time. And
right.
I mean, the music is unlike anything I've ever heard. And they are so striking in in their attire, particularly the women. And there are a couple of photos at the tangents.com playlist, and or just Google Dacha Bracha, if you're brave enough to spell it correctly, D-A-K-H-A, D-A-K-H-A, B-R-A-K-H-A, Dacha Bracha. And the women have these very long, tall, I should say tall hats, usually white or black.
Yes.
And long dresses and boots and jewelry up and down their arms all over the place. And
right.
They just are, whoa. And also Marco is dressed up as well. And,
yes.
And you know, this is also, I would guess, appearance is very important. This theater background, I think, really feeds into the aura of their stage presence.
Yeah, very, very clearly. Absolutely. And they have a sister group called Doc Daughters, which is even more theatrical. Dacha Bracha sticks more with the music side, and it's visually, it's very entrancing. But they're basically a musical group, whereas their sister group, Doc Daughters, is as much theatrical as it is music. And they've performed in San Francisco as well, the Freight and Salvage. And good grief, I can't think of the name of the event that occurs. They appeared as some other private event, a large event on Van Ness Avenue.
When you say Doc Daughters, literally Marco's daughters in that group.
No, I don't think
no?
so.
Isn't that what the New York Times article said about him?
No, Marco's wife is in Doc Daughters.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, well. His daughter is about 14. So.
Well, I'll take wife.
Close.
Yeah,
close.
Yeah. But you know,
and Nina of Dacha Bracha is in both groups. She is the cellist, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to tour without her specially tuned cello that she had to leave behind in Kyiv. We're facing some logistical difficulties with their upcoming tour scheduled to start March 30th in Holyoke, Massachusetts, going throughout a lot of dates in New York State, Rochester, Ithaca, of course, New York City, as always. They've got summer dates in the region as well, Buffalo, Toronto, what have you.
You're talking Dacha Bracha. You're talking
Dacha Bracha, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Not being very clear. And then Dacha Bracha ultimately will be coming to the West Coast, doing things up and down the West Coast in the U.S. and Canada. Now, Doc Daughters does have a tour in Quebec and Ontario, and it looks like we're going to be able to extend that to the West Coast of the U.S. and Canada as well.
Yeah. Just to put a bow on my thought when I was talking about the first time I saw the band, I do remember, and this has happened a few times because we're seeing the same groups at the same time during WOMIX, because I've gone 20 before up until COVID, 20 years in a row, as I think you have as well, virtually every year.
Yeah.
And at the end of these shows, sometimes we look at each other and you may love it, I may not, vice versa. But for that one, we both were just stunned. And I remember that. And you don't get moved that much. It takes a lot, Bill, to move you. I think, and
that's
if you come out of a WOMIX conference where there could be 55 showcases and maybe three made an impact on you, maybe that's the average.
Right.
And that was one of those times. And I'm so glad that, you know, the booking agent industry does not have the best reputation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of agents rip off bands and don't treat them well, but you are. When artists ask me about agents, I'm not doing you any favors because it's giving you more work, but I always point to you because I know how fair you treat artists.
And, well, thank you.
And that's so important. Bill's company, by the way, used to be called Eye for Talent. It's now called Riot Artists. And as I say, you can go to their website if you just Google. Even Googling Eye for Talent, you can get there and you'll see all the incredible artists that you represent. Before we go, I want to ask, what was the catalyst to make the band so politicized? Because I don't think they always were. And, you know, because after, I think, every concert, they would chant, no to Putin, no to war, yes. Or stop Putin, no to war.
That's it, exactly. They came out of Maidan Square very motivated patriotically towards Ukraine.
Take a moment to better explain Maidan Square and the revolution.
There was a very pro-Moscow president of Ukraine. I think his name is Yanukovych. He was infamous for having an enormous zoo and a yacht on the Dnieper River right there in Kyiv. And he was perceived by the Ukrainian people as not functioning in their best interest, not serving in their best interests. And basically, he was overthrown, and revolution was known as the Maidan Square Revolution in 2014. And it was violent. A lot of Ukrainians lost their lives. But it didn't last too long. It was, I don't know, I would say probably less than a week's duration. And he fled to Russia. And then since then, they've had democratically elected presidents. And we have to see where that goes.
And so it was at the time of the Maidan Revolution, if you will, that Dacă Bracă became much more overtly politicized, or was it?
Yes.
Or is it when the, you know, when Crimea was annexed by Russia?
And Donetsk and Luhansk. That pretty much set them on a slightly different trajectory that they hadn't previously followed so diligently or seriously.
Okay. Well, the concert again is coming to San Francisco on April 27th. If all goes well.
Yeah.
And it's almost sold out right now, but according to the website at SF Jazz, at SF Jazz's website. Let's leave here at KALW, San Francisco Bay Area, as we speak with Bill Smith, who's been the booking agent for Dacă Bracă for the last 10 years, doing tours not just in North America, but Europe, controlling Europe as well. I think they end every concert with Baby. Is that correct?
Yes. And you'll hear Marco very prominently participating in this song. I'd like to just mention one slight correction because it's very understandable. Dory, you mentioned that Marco plays a trombone. In fact, that is a vocal trombone. He makes that sound entirely with his mouth and hands. I realize everybody hears it as a trombone, but it ain't.
That's amazing.
That's
the exact opposite of a mystery artist question I had a couple of weeks ago, where the answer was gamelan, because I was playing this artist, and in the liner notes it said he plays guitar and gamelan. I said, really, gamelan, which is, you know, Balinese, Javanese. It's really not a percussion ensemble. One person playing gamelan. But anyway, that's what it said. So I was believing it until I did more digging and read in his bio that it really is a gamelan app.
Oh, that's funny.
It's right on his iPad that he just presses, and it simulates the gamelan. And here we have Marco playing the trombone completely by his mouth. That's a whole lot better.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's the real deal.
It's the real deal. So let's end it with Baby and hope that, I mean, it's hard to be optimistic right now, I tell you, but no one knows what's going to happen. I just pray for the safety of all in Ukraine right now. And certainly, hopefully, Dacă Bracă can do this tour and also retrieve the specially tuned cello that's right now stranded in Kyiv.
Right. And their costumes, for that matter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, they fled with what they could carry. So we're hopeful to have Dacă Bracă and their costumes and their customary instruments in April. They'll be back in the US and Canada in July. And also they have Bay Area dates in September, Sonoma State University. I'm sure we'll have something in the immediate San Francisco area too.
So in addition to the SF Jazz show, you're saying?
Well, SF Jazz is this April, but they'll be coming back in September.
Oh, in September. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. And they've played the Freight and Salvage several times. It sells out every time they go there. I'm sure we'll see them in the Bay Area.
All right. Keep my fingers crossed. Thank you, Bill, for this last second get together and catching us up on the human side of Dhaka Braka. And I greatly appreciate it. All right. This is Baby on 91.7.
fagliando già la vigna di Duluri. E cantavo tra chianta la vita mia fagliando già la vigna di Duluri, come cresce nulli fiori. E canta la potra chianta la vita mia fagliando mo su vecchio alla campagna. E canta la potra chianta la vita mia fagliando mo su vecchio alla campagna, non ci posso uscire più. Ma se codula 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 lo cuore mio si brecia quando dici che è arrivata. Ma se codula 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 lo cuore mio si brecia quando dici che è arrivata una creatura c'ha la casa.
E pesta via dura in c'è la stanza mi masi muoio e ti in c'è la stanza si muoio lui e ti in c'è sta danza quanto dolore per lui uscire nella tutta serrata unina mia.
That is new music from Justin Adams and Mauro Durante. Mauro Durante of the band Canzonieri Greconico Salentino. And the collaboration is called Still Moving. Still Moving. And Koopa Koopa is the track. And before that, we heard from Canzoniero Greconico Salentino from its latest album entitled Meridiana. And we heard the opening track, Balla Nina. And we began with a song that Daka Braka normally ends its concerts with, and that is Baby. And it's from the album Light, all here on 91.7. Thanks to Bill Smith for staying up late and sharing the more intimate side of Daka Braka, bringing us up to date as to what's going on in terms of how they are coping with living in Ukraine at the moment, and also trying to see what happens in terms of an upcoming tour. But right now, I don't think that that's the first thing on their mind. It's hard to imagine what goes through someone's mind. Obviously, most of us can't even begin to empathize in a real kind of way when everything that you know is threatened. And so I just wish the best to the four members of Daka Braka, as well as everyone impacted by the invasion of Ukraine by Russia.